Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Sister Anne is a nun who works as a nurse in a Catholic hospital. It's a training hospital with classes held within its walls. There are doctors and psychiatrists there to observe and treat the patients, but there is something unusual, something unique about this medical center. The patients there are possessed, and treatment involves exorcism. Anne believes she has special experience dealing with possession dating back to her childhood, and she wants to train alongside the priest, but that is not allowed. And when she attempts to help a little girl named Natalie, she is chastised by the church for putting herself and the patient in danger. Can she help cure little Natalie, or will she end up as prey for the devil? Prey for the Devil is a new horror movie about possession, exorcism, the supernatural, and the Catholic Church. It harkens back to classic films like The Exorcist, but this time from a woman's point of view. The film is directed by Daniel Stamm, an award-winning Hamburg-born LA-based filmmaker and documentarian. The film stars Jackie Byers, an accomplished actress who you may have seen at the Toronto Fringe Festival in movies and in the hit sci-fi series Salvation. Daniel and Jacqueline are both here in Toronto and for the film's opening at the Toronto After Dark Film Festival, and it's showing across North America from October 28th, just in time for Halloween. And I'm very pleased to have Daniel and Jacqueline here in person in an actual movie theater, not on Zoom, to tell us more about Prey for the Devil. Hi, Daniel.
Good morning.
Hi, Jacqueline.
Hi.
Thanks so much for meeting with me.
It's so nice to be here.
Pleasure.
So, Daniel, when I first heard that this film was opening, it rang a bell. Your name rang a bell, and I remembered you directed a film in 2010, which I reviewed then, and really like, and it stuck with me in my mind, and it was partly found footage horror set in a creepy rural setting. Now, the name of that film was The Last Exorcism, but it's not The Last Exorcism. You're back again. Mm-hmm. So what was it that made you want to do another exorcism movie?
I never wanted to make another exorcism movie because I felt I had said everything there is to say about the genre. I've done, you know, everything. And my agents knew to not even send me scripts about exorcism. So they sent me this one, and I called them, and I said, this must be a mistake. This is an exorcism movie. And they said, no, this is different. Read this one. And I read this one, and it's true that it could not be more different from The Last Exorcism, because The Last Exorcism ask the question, is this girl possessed or is she crazy? It doesn't answer that question for 90 minutes. This movie, Prey for the Devil, does the opposite. It basically says, in the first minute, this is about possession. You bought a ticket for a movie about possession. This is about possession. Let's not lose any time wondering about that. Let's go. And what that allowed it to do is to have all these set pieces and a story at the same time. So you could get a real story with real characters in the time that you usually in a normal horror movie can only cramp in the horror, you know. And then, obviously, to have a female protagonist kind of changed the entire DNA of the underlying drama of it all, because this woman is up against all these antagonists that a male priest would never be up against the patriarchy and against the demon. She has to fight to even be allowed to fight the demon, you know. And as a character, she meant so much to me because she is so vulnerable. You get this feeling that she needs the devil and demons to exist so much because she was abused by her mother, and she thinks her mother was possessed. And she's saying, it's impossible that my mother abused me. She must have been possessed.
And Jackie, you play Anne, Sister Anne, who has a dark past. So talk about her and what attracted you to play a nun.
A nun.
Yeah. Have you ever met a nun?
None. I initially was drawn to Sister Anne because she could be seen as a superhero of sorts, but she is flawed. And she is dealing with, I think, the idea of shame and guilt. And if you think of forgiving yourself and our own inner demons, and how much harder it is to forgive ourselves mm-hmm. over other people is something that can torment everybody. And it was definitely something I connected to in terms of being a human being. It was a meaty role, and I definitely felt like something with me aligned with the character.
And she has you don't play her as a little girl, but she has a very strong backstory. Mm-hmm. How did that influence your approach to the character?
I think her whole backstory is the driving force of her in this film.
So talk about it.
Yeah, so she has she's dealt with a lot of trauma. She was abused by her mother, but it is her driving force is almost she's avenging her mother's death in a way that it can't be the fact that her mother actually abused her. It has to be something bigger than that, and that's the truth that she knows, and that is what drives her throughout the whole film.
I'm speaking with actor Jacqueline Byers and director Daniel Stamm about their new film, Pray for the Devil. And looking at the credits in the movie, it appears to have been shot in Bulgaria.
Yeah.
What was it like shooting a movie in Bulgaria?
It was wonderful, actually. The genesis was funny because I came on board as the second director because the other director had left the project a week before pre-production. And they said, can you be in Romania by Wednesday? Because they were going to shoot in Romania. And then 2 days later, they called and said, forget Romania. Romania fell through, some tax credit, whatever stuff. We are now going to Bulgaria. Can you be in Bulgaria on Monday? And I was like, I can be there, but God, that is going to be chaotic to go into a film studio, and they've only known for a couple of days that we're coming. And they were great. It's as if they had known for years that we're coming. it was lovely.
One of the best crews I've ever
really
worked with.
Really amazing.
Yeah.
And was it all filmed on set, or did you have some gothic locations that you went to as well?
I had a completely different look in my head for this movie, more like Vatican-y and that kind of stuff. And then we were on the phone with the location department, and they said, you realize we're an Orthodox country. We don't have that kind of architecture in our country.
Wow.
We don't have the Catholic architecture. And then we went location scouting, and they weren't kidding. There was like nothing to be seen. But then we found Sophia University.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that didn't look like anything I had in my head, but it looked like this real world. No matter where you turned the camera, it felt lived in and real. And because it was like socialist architecture that was ancient but hadn't been repaired at all, you just felt that use, and it was a great place to shoot.
Yeah.
I read somewhere that the late
Ben Cross.
Dan Cross was studying Bulgarian. Is that a coincidence?
He was married to a Bulgarian.
He's married
Ben
to a Bulgarian.
Cross, yeah.
Is that why he was in the movie? Because did he live in Bulgaria?
He does. So basically how that works usually is that you have a certain budget, obviously, and that allows you to bring in your lead cast, like yeah. Jackie, for example. And then it's like, okay, everybody else you have to find in the UK. We are not flying anyone over. We can't afford it from the US. You have to find them in the UK. So then we had Colin and Posey and everybody,
yeah.
really,
Nicholas,
other than Christian.
Cora.
Everybody there. So then you go like, okay, we have this role of the cardinal. Whom do we cast? And suddenly it was like, Ben Cross lives in Bulgaria.
In Bulgaria.
What? And he did it. And then he
passed away 10 days after shooting on our film.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. But he has a real presence on the screen.
He's a huge gravitas, yeah. And like his commitment to acting till the end of his day is something I will admire for the rest of my life.
So gender plays a big role in this horror film, where Anne is forbidden from becoming an exorcist because of the strict divide in the Catholic Church between male and female roles. But she attempts to bridge that gap, and there's a scene in the movie where you even see her wearing a priest's collar.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you portray your character as a woman trying to enter an all-male sphere or profession?
I think that she has a calling in a way, and no matter what is put in front of her, what wall is put in front of her, she will knock that wall down. I think that putting it in this atmosphere is a great place for creating drama and storytelling. But I also, it feels ancient. And we live in 2022, and we're seeing across the globe repression done through religion, and it's still existing here today. And I think that it is important. It's an important story to tell specifically right now with what is happening politically.
She's also coming in with a new approach. It's not just here's a female character that is trying to do what her male counterpart does, and that makes her so dangerous to the church. Mm-hmm. You know, that she comes in and says, okay, you priests have been really enjoying your role as the knight in shiny armor with your own pride and all that. For millennia, it doesn't work. I have something new to offer. Why don't we try this out? Use our own words. We don't throw the same paragraphs at the demon always. And we'll let go of God's hand for a second here and try this ourselves and focus on the victim rather than the demon. So it's a real revolutionary act within the church.
And Anne is partly, she's a woman, but she's also a nun. So your character is sort of separated when she's dressed in her nun's habit, but she's also a woman, dressed as a woman and acting as a woman. Talk about that divide in her character.
I always think that it's a woman in a nun's habit. It just becomes more of a reality in the situation. I think what I think you're trying to address is that she has a huge history outside of the church, and I think her becoming a nun was a safe haven for her with the life that she's lived prior, and it became a safe space for her. They gave her a home. She was accepted into this community. But she knows that there is a driving force that's bigger than the church. She knows that there is something more important to her than God, which is probably her mother. And there, I think looking past religion in this place and seeing her as a full human being, as any person should be, is really important.
That just that she came to the church to deal with problems that she brought into that place with her, right? Her being a nun is just a choice to equip herself for this battle that she would have fought anyway in any other way. This is just one way she found that makes her like an interesting nun, very multifaceted.
And to make a successful movie, you always need sex and violence, but you're not going to get sex when it's nuns and priests. But can you talk about the sexual tension, for example, between Sister Anne and Father Dante? Did you notice any sort of...
There was definitely intended. There was a line in the script where they, right before the third act, look into each other's eyes, and then the script said, under any other circumstances, they would have kissed now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which was kind of an interesting way of saying we're just living in a world, it's almost like Age of Innocence, Scorsese, Danny Day-Lewis, where it's like the smallest, tiniest, subtle thing we'll have to do because that's the environment they're in.
Yeah, right? Which I think brings just such a human nature to this whole environment, that it's like just because you're in a church environment doesn't mean that you don't have the same feelings and wants as a human being.
I also always think it's good when it's acknowledged that someone is attractive. I'm always like, there's a movie with Angelina Jolie, and the world in the movie pretends like she is just average looking like everybody. And really everybody would stop in the street.
Yeah.
Right.
So that just makes sense to me.
In a horror movie, one thing that you often have is horrible devils and demons and goblins and stuff, but you chose to have the scary parts portrayed by humans, just how it affects the humans, not to bring in outside monsters. What was the idea behind that?
One idea with exorcism, why I think it's so effective, is that it has to do with our own bodies turning against us. And what you can do with that is that you can work with this parallel to illness and disease. You know, that is something that we know. There's always this theory that if you chop someone's arm off with an axe, you hardly get any reaction from the audience. But if you do a paper cut, the whole audience goes, you know? And that's kind of what we're trying to do. Let us show stuff that is still in the realm of the imaginable for the audience so that they can feel how that hand must hurt right now, or when your jaw goes slightly too wide, and you give the audience enough time to go like, oh, that's a little wide. What's happening? You know, what's happening? So, you know, it's important to keep that in that realm.
And another very scary aspect of the movie, similar to ones like The Omen, there's a lot of ancient, or not ancient, but period photos of people who have been possessed or are ill in various ways. I'm wondering, I'm sure you didn't do it personally, but how did you gather these incredible images? Are they actually any connection?
I did do it personally.
Oh, you did do it? Oh, I take it back.
It was the most fun This sounds weird.
I didn't know that
because
you did
I love you so much, and yet my favorite shooting day during the entire shoot was that because the stakes were so low. It was just like, here's an iPhone. We did have a photographer who did stuff, and then we just threw people in costumes and in makeup and in this, and just had one day of no pressure. It was the most wonderful way of working.
You took all those photos.
We took all those photos.
I thought they were archived. They were
good,
very well done.
Mission accomplished.
Wow. Oh, that's what I was saying. Oh, so you somehow got access to secret Vatican files with these black and white
photos.
Oh. I almost feel bad because it was so much easier than you would imagine. You just go black and white. You just go slightly shaky and you have the person just kind of twitch and you get some picture in there that just looks great.
Yeah, they also shot, so when you walk through the hallway and you look into every room of what's happening inside each room, they had videotapes on the camera of what the possession was happening inside, and they shot all those those scenes as well. So when I walked up to there, I could see what was happening inside a room that didn't actually exist.
Wow. No, I mean, that, to me, that was the most, I mean, the acting was great and everything
it's
else,
okay.
But that was
those
creepiest. Those photos were really good.
You're
they really freaked me out.
You're the first one to mention them. I'm so glad I feel seen.
Well, and it's all around excellent, scary movie, perfect for Halloween.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Director Daniel Stamm and star Jacqueline Byers' new film, Pray for the Devil, is opening across North America on October 28th. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.